someone came running up to me saying, "Now, Mark, are you telling everybody that if they do what you said today, they have no problems in their life and everything's just going to be rosy?" And I said, "Well, you have to come back next week, find out about that." Last week, if you were here, we talked about yielding to God. The Bible says in Job, "Yield now and be at peace with Him, and thereby good will come to you." If you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to get the tape. The tapes are always available back at the tape table, because it will bring you up to date about what we're talking about today. The starting point for peace in our life is submission to God. Now, we don't like that word, and I realize that. I shared with you last week my rebellion towards that whole concept. A lot of last week, if you want to find out a little bit more about me and my own personal pilgrimage to faith, you might be interested in getting that. It was a difficult struggle for me. It was difficult to come to the point in my life where I finally said, "All right, God, it's your way or no way. Not my way, but it's your way. How do you want me to live? How do you want me to approach life? How do you want me to approach the future? How do you want me to approach marriage? How do you want me to approach family life? How do you want me to approach my priorities and my value systems in life?" Now, that is the pathway to peace. But in between those things, in between those principles, in all honesty, and I'm sure most of us in this room know this, life is very difficult. I'd be the first one to admit that life can be very, very hard. It can be very painful. It can be very frustrating. It can be very fearful. It can be very scary. There are a lot of things that could possibly happen in our life that make us afraid. There are also things going on in our lives that are happening that make us apprehensive, that fill us with worry and anxiety. You know, the problem is that we become so used to worry and anxiety, we hardly are even aware of it anymore in our life until we begin to compare it with peace in our life. Until we begin to realize that no matter what we go through, God is offering us peace and tranquility in the midst of the storms that we go through in our life. That's His desire for us. I would not want anyone to misunderstand that God promises us a rose garden. When I was a kid, there was a song with that line in it, "I never promised you a rose garden. There's got to be a little rain sometime." That's the way life is. And sometimes, I don't know about your life, but in my life, it seems like there's more rain than there's ever sun, circumstantially speaking. It seems like there's more events that come about in my life. Like John. You know, you think once you reach that pastoral plateau, and you've really pleased God, life is going to be so wondrous. I relate so much to John because we're like carbon copies of each other's lives. Every time we turn around, something's breaking, something isn't working right, and we're having to spend money on it. And we just kind of chuckle when we get around each other, and we trade war stories. And that's why I'm getting a little gray. He's just a little younger than I am. You know, he's getting started. But one day his dark hair is going to have gray hair in it too. I'm teasing. Life can be that way sometimes. Sometimes we can look at our life and think, man, this God stuff, this life stuff's for the birds, quite frankly. My life feels filled with stress and filled with anxiety, and I'm worried, and I've been praying about particular things and they don't seem to be coming true. Or even John prayed over his tire and it didn't come off. Except it did, didn't it? It was just a little bit later when he got the answer to his prayer and someone hit it with a sledgehammer. You see, the tire did come off in answer to his prayer. Except by then we forget we even prayed. We just move on with life. I want to give you tonight, these are going to be, in your mind you may think, it's got to be more complicated than this, Mark. It's not. Trust me, it's not. I'm going to tell you tonight what the Bible has to say about peace in your life, in your daily life, for everyday situations and for the future. You remember the list I read off to you? That funny little list. You know, I don't remember all the 64 things. But I thought I would tell you some of the things that have scared me. My kids. Not them, but raising children is a very scary adventure for me. if I didn't have God, and I really mean this, if I didn't have God in my life, and if I didn't know some of the things that I'm going to tell you tonight, I wouldn't be able to keep my head on straight. It's not my personality. It's not my temperament to stay straight with all these things. When I think about the world that my children are headed out into, and that someday I will no longer be able to guard them from all sorts of things, scary. On a fairly regular basis, my little daughter, at night, when I put her to bed, I always put my children to bed at night. Sometimes my wife puts the boys to bed, I put the girls to bed, and then we switch, do the switch. You know, we go back and forth. And my youngest daughter, almost every night says, Dad, sometimes when I go to bed at night, I'm afraid someone's going to break in. That's a very real fear, you know, to a child. Happens all the time in the world you and I live in. So I try to calm her fears. But you know, to be honest, be really honest, that's sometimes the most difficult question for me to answer to my daughter. Well, we live in a brick house, honey. It's pretty safe. It never happened to us. I can't say that. I cannot get those words to come out of my mouth because it might be a lie. Someone might break into our house. They really might. It's happened to better people than me. So I always think, okay, how do I say? I say, well, honey, I'm just right down the door. And I don't sleep very well at night anyway. So you scream, and I'll be there. And so I try that one, and then I say, well, you know, honey, I said, I'll tell you something that helps Dad. I said, you know, I get scared sometimes too. I get scared when I have to get up in front of people. I can get a little anxious, a little nervous. It could be a little nerve-wracking. I said, one of the things that always helps me is to remember that the most powerful, strongest person in the universe is inside me and right beside me and is watching over me all the time. She said, really, Dad? I said, really? That's the truth. That's what gives me confidence. Do you know, as Brent has said so many times in his different teachings, the greatest fear that most people face, the greatest, is standing right up here and trying to do to all these people what I'm doing here today. Most of us hated speech class. It was the last thing in the world we ever wanted to take. And the last thing we ever wanted to do was stand up and be judged by a whole lot of people based on what we're saying. Have all these people, well, am I good enough? Was it good enough? Did it entertain them enough? Did they get anything out of it? I think they think I'm ugly. It attacks your self-confidence. You start looking in the mirror going, is my zipper up? Is my, you know, is all my Kleenex tucked into my pocket? It can be very nerve-wracking, and I can tell you right now that if I'd not learn and continue to learn the very things I'm talking to you about tonight, I wouldn't come out here. I don't come out here because I think I'm so wonderful and so great. I come out here because I know God is in me. He's inside of me. And He's promised to never leave me or forsake me. So I try to comfort my daughter with those words. And so then we pray together. And then she says, Dad, don't forget to come in and check me. So you know, I get up pretty regularly, go to the bathroom, and their bedroom's near the bathroom. So fairly regular basis, I'll open the door and I'll peek in. And there she is, just sound asleep, and I'll go over and shake her. She's sound asleep. Next morning, she'll go, Dad, did you check me? I said, honey, I checked you. I shook you. I kissed your forehead. You didn't wake up. No, you didn't do that, Dad. I said, yes, I did. See, I was watching out. You didn't even know it. So I'm trying, you know, as a little at a time to build her confidence that Dad's watching over and God's watching over us. But the bottom line, I could put bars on the walls. I could put a gun under your pillow. But all those things, as John was saying, we could try to plan and plan and plan and plan, but the bottom line is the greatest security systems in the world get broken into. Some of the most protected people in the world get shot. So when it all really boils down to the bare essentials, you either go insane, you have panic attacks on a regular basis, you're always worried and fretting, or you learn to do what our money says on the face of your coin. You learn to trust in God. And if you don't learn that, you won't make it in life. I can promise you that right now. I promise you this, your health will suffer, and for many of you it already is suffering. You just don't realize it. You think you just get migraines. You think you just have headaches on a regular basis, or your back's all in knots because you're lifting wrong. Some of you may. That may be the reason. Many of you in this auditorium are suffering even physical, emotional stress and strain on this old bod because you're worried and you're anxious and you're frustrated and you're bothered and you're fearful. God doesn't want that for you. He has something better for you. He wants to give you, as the Bible says in Peter, grace and peace be multiplied to you in abundant measure. He wants you to experience peace in an abundant measure. He doesn't want you worried about the future or frustrated about what might come tomorrow. But that's a challenge. When I was a little kid, I was the oldest of six, so I got the babysitting duties on a regular basis. I grew up a worrier, okay, and I'll admit that. I grew up always wondering, worrying, and anxious. So my mom and dad, they would go on dates, not very often, but sometimes they'd go. And I'd be left with the kids. And then it was supposed to be 10 o'clock, they were supposed to be home, and it was 10:10, and I'm sitting out on the curb. My heart's racing, I'm wondering why they aren't home, it's 10:10. Well, it's 10:15. Oh, my gosh. I know they got hit. I know. We're all going to be orphans. I'm going to have five little orphans on my hands. They'll split us all up, send us all to different houses. You know. And today, full-grown man, I can still project those kind of fears in my mind all the time. I can project fears with this church. I can wonder, okay, when is it going to be someone's going to come after me? When is it going to be someone hates me enough, hates what I've said enough, that they're going to make up some accusation or say something to try to destroy my reputation? When will that happen? There are very real fears that you and I have to live with. Will my wife get cancer? Will my children? I'll tell you, the ante really goes up when you become a parent. I was out mountain biking today with Doug for a little while, and there was this guy and this gal in this old beater car, and they brought up their beautiful bikes. The bikes were worth more than the whole car. Both the bikes. And I rode past Doug, and I hit him, and I said, remember when our life used to be like that? Just an old beater car. We had these great bikes. Nothing to worry about, not a care in the world. Now we got families, we got wives depending on us, man. What if we die? What if my arm gets cut up? What if I grow these nodules on my voice bothers me all the time, and I lose my ability to make my living. I make my living with my mouth. What happens if I can't do that anymore? Those things may not be real to you, but I know that you have things in your life that confront you every day. You know what Jesus said? He said this, which one of you, he gets a little logical with us now, he says, which one of you, by worry, can add a single day to his life? By your concentration on worrying and focusing and concentrating and concerning yourself, can actually add one day to your lifespan. None of us. None of us. We've just gotten so brainwashed with a society that tells us we can actually extend our life now. I'm not saying that by practicing better health practices, you can't have a fuller life and a greater life of quality, and you might even live a little longer than if you did these kinds of things that destroyed your body. But, you know what? It's your time. It's your time. A few months ago, my wife and I went to a conference together. And it's the first conference I've taken her to, both of us. And one of the reasons it's the first one I've ever taken her to with me, to be real frank, is because I never wanted to leave my kids alone if we both died at the same time. And we're on this plane and we're riding, and I'm thinking about all the trials that have been in my life in the past. And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, I'm 37 years old and I got to trust you right now. If this plane goes down, I have no will. And I don't know what will happen to my children. I've done the best I could with them, Lord. I'd like to get back to them. I'd like both of us to get back to them. You never think about that when you don't have kids. Never even crosses your mind. All of a sudden you have a family, and there's all new things that start to come to mind. All new things that start to happen. Well, the Bible has an answer for those things. God has an answer for those things. And the first one, and I want to get into this just a little bit more, is trusting God. Learning to trust God. Now, some of you may think to yourself, How do I even know God is trustworthy? Well, I'm going to try to cover that in just a few brief moments. But we have tapes on that back at the tape table. Brent has done some series on Can God Be Trusted? I've done some series on that. And you can go back and you can find out a whole bunch of reasons why God can be trusted. But I want to give you some personal examples tonight. I have found in 17 years of my life that every time I've trusted God, He has always kept His Word as found in the Bible. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you, the things you need in life. And God has done that in my life. I'll never forget a time I was trying to get a job. I didn't have a job, and the job that I had, the business went under. The car that my wife and I had just bought, I had to sell back to the dealership. I was flat broke, and I had no car, and I had no money to look for a job. I remember getting on my hands and knees, down my basement, saying, God, you got to help me. I have two children. I have a wife. And money doesn't grow on trees. But I know that you promised that if I bring my request to you, that you would provide. You said, cast your burdens on the Lord, and you will sustain me. You said, call to me and I will answer you. So, Lord, it's on the line. This is a little different now, you know, than just praying for just mystical peace or joy. This is something very real. My family, my extended family, they're watching. Her extended family, they're watching. My little children, their lives depend on whether or not you answer our prayers, whether or not you keep your word, whether or not, God, you could be trusted. Now, I remember day after day after day praying, and as I was praying, I got this phone book, and I started dialing through all the business section of the town that I was living in at the time, and I'd ask for the personnel department, sound real professional, and I'd ask for the personnel director, and then I'd ask if they had any openings for employment, and then they'd say, what do you do? I said, whatever you've got. I can do a lot of things. I finally got to the S's, from the A's to the S's, and I'll forget this one particular guy. He says, I don't believe this. We just let a guy go this morning. How did you know this? I said, I'm psychic. You definitely want me at your place of business. I said, well, to be honest with you, I just got to the S's in the phone book, and you were the next one. He said, well, you'd come right down. So it was for the sales position at this auto parts store. So I borrowed a car to drive over to this town to interview. I drove in a blizzard. I got there. The guy gave me 5 minutes of his time, sent me back home. I didn't know if I was going to get the job or not. But the one thing you had to have to do the job was your own car. Ooh, I had no car. Now I said, oh, this is really hot, God. This is really good of you, Lord. I not only need a job, now they're going to tell me, you got to have a car, your own car. And it involves all this traveling. So I got down on my hands and knees again. And I opened my Bible and said, Lord, it's a promise right here. I said, bring every request to you. I said, you're my Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, I'm bringing them to you. I need help. I mean, I need help really bad. This was a Friday. This was a Thursday. Friday, they called me and told me I had the job. I said, great. They said, be there Monday morning. I said, I'll be there. Didn't tell them I didn't have a car. They didn't ask. I didn't lie. They didn't ask that question. They just told me I needed to have one. So I remember going, okay, Lord, this is really serious now. I've been looking and looking. I've had interviews and nothing's open. Nothing. This is the only opening. But I need a car. I need a car, Lord. And I don't have any money. I got no credit rating. I have nothing. I mean nothing. We were living on $10 a week for food. That was it. I was behind on my rent. I was behind in all kinds of things. So, Lord, we need help. I'll never forget, Sunday morning, went to church. Nothing happened. Came home Sunday afternoon, said, Lord, it's getting close, Lord. It's getting really close. Sunday night came. It was about 10 o'clock and the phone rang. Ringy, lingy, lingy. That's back when they went ringy, lingy, lingy. So I pick up the phone and this person says, Mark, my name's so-and-so. I said, yeah. Well, I know we don't know each other very well. I said, yeah. Well, we go to the same church. He said, oh, yeah. Listen, I heard you need a car. I said, you did? Who did you hear that from? I hadn't really told anyone that. I didn't know this person. Well, I said, this person said, here's the deal. I work at the university. My car is sitting in storage, has been there for months, and it's really not good for it to be there. Would you use it for me? I said, excuse me, would you say that again? He said, my car's been in storage, it's not an antique or nothing, it's just sitting there, and I think it would be better if someone used it. Would you use it? I said, well, Do you realize I'm going to put some miles on it? Oh, yes, I sure do. I said, then in that case, I'd be glad to use it. So I'll never forget this 70-something Matador. First car I ever had with air conditioning. And I show up and work the next morning with this car. And God kept His word. And God kept His word. I'll never forget as a young man, 19 and a half, deciding to follow Christ, deciding to do what I told you last week. Well, you know, the first big thing on my mind was, well, Lord, who do I marry? What do I do about that? Lord said, trust me with it. I'll never forget coming to Romans for the first time, Romans chapter 8, and I read this verse. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not along with Him freely give us everything else, everything we need? I read a few days later, it said in Proverbs, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. So I said, well, Lord, it's Your favor to give, not mine to take. So I'll tell you what, Lord. It'd be pretty audacious of me to say I trust You for forever, which I can't see. And I can't trust you for a woman. Now, I've been single. Many of you have been single, and some of you are still single. I know the anxiety that goes on. Okay, you don't fool me. I've been there. I understand the worry, the anxiety. Is this the one? Ooh, she's cute. Oh, he's a stud. What a hunk. Oh, my gosh. I hope. And then have your hopes dashed. I understand that. I understand that. So I decided, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put all my marbles with God. Now I want to explain to you, I want to give you a little picture of what it's like to put all your marbles with God. How many of you recently did your taxes, right? The good old IRS. And if you're like some people, you had to pay. You had to pay. So you wait till the last minute, you make out your check, and you hope that you figured your taxes right. And you send it off. You think, whew, I made the deadline. Some of you didn't make the deadline. And you ask for an extension. And you know, the IRS strikes fear in people like nothing else in America. You say those words and we just almost get a tummy ache. Our nerves, we start to shake. But what a wonderful feeling it is when you send it in, whether you had to pay or whatever, and you get it back and everything's okay. You ever experienced that peace? Well, have you ever experienced when it doesn't work that way? And they call you up and send you a real nice little form letter? It says, guess what? You owe us $2,785 because you were delinquent in 1988. I was? You were. And if you don't take care of this real soon, we're coming after you. That's nerve-wracking. That's nerve-wracking. But I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to be able to go to your tax man. It's a wonderful thing to be able to go to him and say, you know what? I don't understand this stuff. Here, you take it. This is your job. You're a professional. And you walk away and you go home and I'm telling you, there's peace in your heart and you get that electronic refund a lot faster than if you did it yourself and with much more confidence and peace. And then guess what else? You get a form letter from the IRS and you go, ha, fool me on that. Here you go, Mr. Tax Preparer. This is your problem. I didn't do my own taxes. You did them. You're responsible. And that's how it is with God. When you decide to trust Him, He's responsible. He's responsible for your future. He's responsible for you today, for your tomorrow. He's responsible to bring you the person that He wants for your life. And I'll tell you this, I am so thankful that I let Him make the choice. Because I would have really messed it up. I am so glad that I left that decision with God and I didn't have to go through the daily grind and the struggle of that process of trying to figure out who it's going to be. Some people call that blind faith. I call that smart faith. When we learn to take God at His word. David said, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, Your consolations, O Lord, thrill my soul. Then let me share this other principle with you. About trusting God. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. It says this, don't be anxious for anything, but take everything through prayer, through supplication, with thanksgiving to God. Let your requests, your desires, your anxieties be known to Him, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. God means what He says. He wants to give you peace. But you've got to learn to pray. Probably the most neglected habit in our daily lives is the habit of prayer. The habit of real prayer. Really connecting with God. Because a lot of people, what they do, using this old fishing analogy, the old casting analogy, some of you probably heard this little story before, but it says in Psalm 55, cast your burdens on the Lord and He'll sustain you. The problem is most of them never leave Him. We never leave Him with the Lord. We go to the Lord, we pray about Him, we pray over Him, we get more anxious than when we were not even praying because we're talking about them. We're not going, Lord, here they are. And I call it dumping on God. We're not unloading on God. We're not giving the burden. God never intended for you to bear the pressures and the burdens of life. All He intended to do was allow you to experience in them so that you could go give them to Him and experience His faithfulness firsthand in your life. And experience supernatural peace firsthand in your life. We're too busy trying to figure life out. We're too busy trying to get all the answers, get all our ducks in a row, get all our plans organized enough. Most people, as I said the very first week of this series, are just waiting till they have enough money, till they feel they're secure enough and they can relax. Well, I want to tell you something. I don't have enough money. None of us, haven't you learned this by now? You never have enough money. Haven't we learned that by now? You never gain security and peace from money. It doesn't happen. You may think, oh, that's easy for you to say. No, it isn't easy for me to say. I've had as many hard times as probably anyone in this auditorium with finances. And I can tell you firsthand that peace comes from God, not from money. Peace in difficult times comes from God for free by faith, by trusting Him for what He says. By learning to take our cares and anxieties and dumping on God. There was a song when I was a child. We used to sing. We don't sing these songs anymore. But I remember them. It's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I sing that 3 years old, so I remember it today at 37 years old. I don't even sing that song anymore. Those words have stuck in my mind. Do you know how much needless pain you and I bear? How much needless anxiety? Because we won't take things to God in prayer. I want to tell you something. I believe the greatest personal privilege of our lives is to be able to go right into God, right into His throne, right into His presence, and tell Him all of our worries, all of our cares, and leave them there and walk away. Just like the tax man. He just takes it, here they are. You cope with this. Man, I don't understand all these codes and all these rules, and I don't want to be in trouble. It's your deal, and you walk away. And that's what it's like when we learn to really pray. Let me give you a few suggestions, all right, about prayer. I am not going to be so assuming and presume that you know how to pray. So let me tell you a few basic principles to prayer. Forget the Lord's Prayer. That's not praying, all right? Some of you, that's the only praying you know. That prayer was simply an example of the kinds of things we can bring to God. We praise Him, we thank Him, and we tell Him, Lord, I need a piece of bread right now. Jesus gave so many stories to His disciples on prayer. The two main things Jesus tried to teach His disciples was don't be afraid, only believe, and pray. Don't give up. Bring your needs and cares to God. He cares about you. When you really believe God cares about you, you begin to pray. When you really begin to trust God, you begin to pray. Psalm 62 says this, trust in Him at all times, O peoples. Pour out your heart to God. He is a refuge to us. So I just rewrote that and said, dump on God. Don't dump on your mate. Don't dump on your friends. Don't dump on your co-workers. Don't dump on yourself. Go dump on God. He can cope with it. He is the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, and the Wonderful Counselor, the Therapist. And you need Him in your life. I can tell you right now, I could not cope. I would not be coping with the pressures in my life today if I did not understand trusting God and going to Him and talking to Him. So first thing you need to do with prayer is this. Prayer is talking to God. You need to find a place that's alone that you don't feel inhibited. Could be your basement, could be your bedroom, could be your garage, could be the place you go to walk, could be the woods, could be underneath your bed, could be your closet. I don't care where it is. The most important thing you have to understand is it's got to be a place where you're uninhibited because God wants you to be uninhibited. And then you just start telling Him. You start saying, God, just like saying, Mark, Dave, Bob, Sally, You start talking to him. You say, God, tell you what, I got a lot of things going on in my heart. I just want to talk to you about every single one of them. First of all, Lord, there's this situation with so-and-so. I don't know what it is they have against me. I don't know why. It really hurts me. I don't understand it. It's causing me a lot of pain, a lot of personal hurt. Lord, help me with it. Take that, Lord. Work out that situation. I don't know how to get it straightened out. I don't know what all the behind-the-scenes things that are going on there. Lord, you take it. Lord, there's this job thing. You know, boy, my job just not going very well. Things are hard. And I don't really like it. I know I'm supposed to be thankful, but I don't feel like it. Well, help me with it. Help me, Lord. Help me with my attitude. Help me, Lord, to experience. Lord, I want to get married so bad I can taste. It's all I can think about. It runs my life, to be honest, Lord. It runs my life. If I were honest, unless you come through with this in 6 months, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. You said those who trusted you would never be disappointed. Well, I'm disappointed. And I don't like it one bit. And God, let God start working on your attitude, you see, because you're wrong and you know it. See? But that doesn't mean you can't tell him about it. That doesn't mean God's in your face going, you little slime ball, who do you think you are talking to me like that? You got to let God know these things. He knows every single worry, anxiety, wretched, wicked, doggone thought going on in your life, in your mind. He knows every struggle, every personal fear. He already knows them before you say them. Guess who prayer benefits? You. It is your life coping therapy. If you don't learn it, you will never have the peace that passes the understanding, because God will give it to you if you pray. But only if you pray. But only if you learn to pray. Faith, say, Lord, take these things. These are heavy burdens. My children, Lord. Boy, I pray for my children every day. My parenting. Lord, help me as a dad. Sometimes I wonder if I'm doing the best job. I want to be a better dad. Lord, help me. Help me. So you know what I do? I have a place that I go. I have a couple places that I go in case someone's there. I always have a contingency plan. Now, with prayer, you need a contingency plan. Don't worry about anything else. But with prayer, you got to have 1 to 3 places, because nothing bugs me more than to go to my place of prayer and somebody's there. How dare they be in my park? This is my park. So I've had to find more than one place, okay? So you go to those places and you just tell God. But you know what's very important? Is that you leave your load there. Leave it there. And walk away. And when it comes back to you again, you just go, Lord, I left that there. Pray about it again. Go back to what God's Word says. His promises. That's what David meant by your consolations delight my soul. You learn to trust God. Trust what His Word says. Now, let me close with this. I told you last week, I cannot get into your Bible for you. I can't. I wished I could. I wish, to be honest, do you know what I wish? I wish you would show up here 7 nights a week for an hour. And if you would, I would come. Brent would come. We'd be here every night in the Bible. When I was a young Christian, with college kids, we used to have a noon study every day. We'd all meet campus. We'd all eat our lunch and read the Bible. Oh man, I tell you, I long for those days again. They aren't coming back. So you can do 2 things. You can get every tape that's in that tape library, number one. Number 2, you can get your own Bible, you start reading it, start underlining things that mean something to you, and start grabbing onto them if you want peace. If you don't want peace, then go hold onto your rabbit's foot. Like I told you a few weeks ago, hold onto your crystal. Go read your astrological signs this week if you think that's going to help you. But I'm telling you right now, it won't. Because God is real, they are not. God is alive, He is well, He is real, He is powerful, and He can do awesome things with your life. He can give you peace. He can give you peace so that you no longer have to be walking around with these huge weights on your life. And they're weighing you down. Just as real as if someone put 500 pounds on your back. You're walking along under the heavy load and your spirit's pressed down and your soul is pressed down and your emotions are down and you're frustrated, you're discouraged, you're downcast. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God and throw off the load. Put it on God. And when the load of life comes back, go throw it off back on God. And grab onto His promise. And I'll tell you right now, I've been surviving, not just surviving, but conquering for the last 17 years with those principles that change your life. Next week, we're going to finish the series, and we're going to talk about peace for your eternity. Personal peace for eternity. So I'd like to invite you back. Next week, we'll end this series. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that you give us peace, that you offer us peace. You said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be full of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and we overcome the world through our faith in you. I thank you for that tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd take these principles and you'd put them in each person's heart here tonight. Help them to go away tonight and do something with what they heard. My goodness, Lord, if we don't become proactive with what we've heard tonight, it will benefit us zero. But if we do, it could change our life. I pray that you just make peace abundant in each person's life, young and old here tonight. Might they realize there's nothing too small that we can't bring to you and nothing too big that we can't talk to you about. You care about it all. In Jesus' name.